promise of sun, sea and sand has been but a distant dream in the wilderness of the pandemic. But the summer holidays are here. Thousands of people are jetting off on their first holiday abroad in 3 years. But a huge spanner in the works. Will you actually make it to your destination?
Now, thousands of holidaymakers have faced more chaos at British airports today, with over 150 flights cancelled.
On Thursday and Friday, passengers complained of long queues, cancelled flights and lost baggage as disruptions at UK airports were exacerbated by strikes in Spain.
British Airways has announced it's cancelling a further 10,000 short-haul flights between now and October. It's become one of the worst affected airlines for disruption, having axed 13% of its flights already this summer.
This was not the postcard ending we were promised. Today, I'll speak to travel journalist and international globetrotter Andy Mossack about why our airports are under the most pressure they've ever experienced.
Someone in an airport has got to say that, regardless of the fact if they laid people off, when flights come back, we've got to be in a situation where we're going to be able to handle it. And they just simply can't handle the numbers.
Were our airports unprepared, or does the blame lie with the airlines? And how long will this travel chaos last, or is this just how things are now? From Channel 4 News, this is The Forecast. Now, Andy Mossack has travelled to every corner of the globe. He's founder of Trip Reporter and the Andy behind the BBC series Where in the World is Andy? I can confirm Andy is with me now in our humble Forecast studio. Andy, welcome to The Forecast.
Thank you, Millie.
Now, you are, of course, a travel journalist. Clues in the title. You do a lot of travelling. And last week, you were in Gdansk, Poland. I gather you travelled from lovely Luton. What was your experience getting there? Was it seamless, Andy?
Seamless, no. There were some little pitfalls along the way. One of them was you have a priority and non-priority with this particular airline, and the non-priority was whizzing through and the priority was standing there for hours not getting anywhere at all, which was really irritating. You know, the problems were at the other end. Well, literally, when we were in the departure lounge, we stood in the, you know, the sort of when you go through the gate, and you obviously have to walk across the tarmac to get on the plane. We're all sort of holding in the below the stairs for about nearly an hour.
Wow.
Nobody came to talk to us. So the doors finally opened. We walk across onto the plane. We were told that, unfortunately, the delay was because there was no one around to push the stairs towards the aircraft. Fair enough. We sit down, and then they say, sorry, it's going to be another hour because there's no one to put the bags in the hold.
It's just absolutely maddening, though, isn't it? It feels like the basic mechanics of getting on a flight seem to be falling apart. Just the things you used to take for granted, really. You know, you're constantly seeing long queues, cancelled flights, no one to put the baggage on the plane.
We got in there early, so we got about 4 or 5 hours, so hopefully we'll make it.
We were waiting for 4 hours in line. And then we missed our flight because of it.
There is no one to give information. The lines were disorganized. Getting to passport control was horrible because people were dying of thirst. Children were crying and no one attended to us.
Are some airlines and airports, though, being affected more than others, do you think?
I think Heathrow definitely in Gatwick, yeah.
Airline passengers have described the total chaos at Heathrow Airport this morning after dozens of flights were cancelled at short notice. Heathrow said it had to act because it couldn't handle the number of passengers.
Passengers had to join long queues at Gatwick, where EasyJet scrapped 31 flights. TUI Airways has cancelled 6 daily services out of Manchester. And British Airways dropped 124 flights out of Heathrow.
There seems to be a priority on long haul, and then obviously anything to do with short haul tends to take the brunt of it. And I was at the chaos at Terminal 5, and I couldn't believe what was going on. I mean, it was literally people sleeping on the floor in the departure lounge.
We often find ourselves in situations where we think this is the worst things have ever been. But give us some context here. You've been doing this for a while now. Is this the worst it's ever been, or is this something that happens in cycles and you know, we've seen it before?
I honestly think the aviation industry is in total chaos at the moment. On both sides, it's the airports and the airlines themselves. I don't see an end to it, actually. It is becoming something of an emergency now.
It seems to be that the two are kind of blaming each other.
Yeah,
is there a sort of a bit of a kind of war of words going on between the airlines and the airports?
Yeah, there is that. It was interesting reading this spat with Emirates recently, who were blaming Heathrow for everything. Heathrow were blaming Emirates for being unprofessional and outrageous with the context of it. And then the two big cheeses got together 3 days later, and then suddenly there's a sort of a news report saying everything's fine now. I don't think they're really taking this, as far as the public are concerned, seriously enough, because consumer confidence is in peril here, particularly when you see the firsthand what happens to people. I mean, the knock-on effects of having cancelled flights at an airport. People are missing cruises. People are missing all the connections they have to do. It doesn't stop just because they can cancel a flight and put someone on the next day. It's all the ramifications after that.
So, crucially, how is this all affecting passengers? Are passengers being given enough notice of cancelled flights? You know, we are, of course, in summer holiday territory here. Lots of families have booked this time off, been really looking forward to it for months, even years, because of the pandemic. You know, are they getting the refunds they deserve and need, or is that chaos too?
I think the refund situation is being sorted. I don't think that's the issue. I think the problem is the lack of notice prior to when they've come up with this agreement now to say the flight's schedules have to be posted and noted. And as far as the airports and the airlines are concerned now, they're trying to work a way where they can at least give people 7 days notice of any changes. Now, the other thing is, from the passenger perspective, is that if you've booked a package holiday, then you're pretty well protected. The problem, of course, is if you do flights and hotels separately, you need to check your travel insurance to ensure that you're covered. Because if they cancel the flight, the hotel could turn around and say, we want the booking money, please.
Now, we spoke to one couple who flew to Rome last night. They're getting married in Italy at the weekend. Their bags weren't put on their flight. Then they weren't put on a flight this morning because that was cancelled. It's fair to say they're in a bit of a panic.
Suitcase full of all wedding-related stuff, my suit, a groomsman outfit, shoes, clothes for our honeymoon, which we were going to go straight after, everything you can imagine. Their lack of response has been shocking. We've tried every medium, your social media, email, whatever, try to contact, we had no response.
Well, BA has said it will do all it can to get their bags there for the big day, but this is...
We should say that BA have said they have been immediately contacting affected passengers, and a spokesperson for EasyJet said customers were affected by cancelled flights were notified and provided with transfers to alternative flights free of charge or a refund along with accommodation and meals if required. Now, this isn't a problem just facing the UK, though, is it? It's happening all over the world.
Yeah, I think particularly anywhere that's got a major airport will suffer more than any others. So, obviously, London or the UK has got very busy airports. It's not going to be the same as if you're kind of in an Italian sort of a city in Italy, which is not necessarily served by international flights. So, yeah, I think America and the UK are particularly suffering. But I think it is a global situation, actually.
Air travel in America sure feels like it's in a state of chaos, y'all. I mean, the delays and the cancellations, they just seem endless.
There were similar scenes at Amsterdam Schiphol Airport and in Lisbon. Here, passengers arriving from outside of Europe have had to wait for nearly 4 hours to go through passport control.
So let's take a step back to try to decipher why this is happening. Now, we know some airports are telling airlines to cancel flights as they have to put a cap on the number of daily passengers that can depart from the airport. For example, from the 12th of July to the 11th of September, the maximum number of daily passengers departing from Heathrow has been set to no more than 100,000 people. But airlines are also cancelling flights themselves, aren't they? So what's going on here, do you think?
I think it's the pandemic and Brexit to a certain extent, but I think the pandemic has thrown chaos because some airlines let people go, some airports let people go. People realised that they could get a better job doing something else. A lot of them probably went home if they were foreigners, coming back to finding something local where they came from, or they would find themselves either working from home, doing something else that paid more money. Either way, I don't think the airports really factored in the labour shortage. I don't think people really understood the fact of how many people would want to go back travelling again so quickly. What happened was suddenly the airlines put on a whole load more flights And it took the airport seemingly by surprise. I can't believe it. I'm just stunned that they would even think that that wouldn't happen.
And yet, when we were in the wilderness of COVID, all anybody would ever say was, I cannot wait to go on holiday. What's the one thing you want to do when this is all over? Go on holiday. So it's kind of, perhaps, would you say, do you think they should have predicted this coming further down the track?
Again, I don't think they realise that people are prepared to put up with protocols. They're prepared to say, OK, if you need a COVID test, we can do that. And then within, maybe a month, suddenly everybody released the chains, didn't they? Every country kind of said, okay, no one needs a test now. We're open, we're open, we're open. And I think that's the problem.
Do you think that the pandemic particularly, though, kind of gave people a bit of perspective? Because, of course, these are the most sort of transient jobs on the planet, aren't they? It literally is a flighty job. You are flying all over the world. And you think people had some time to reflect and thought they could work from home. Has any of that happened as well, that they've had time to look at the jobs? Because, of course, they weren't flying during the pandemic. They kind of were they looked after enough?
Well, you know, I've stayed in hotels as well, and they've got the same issues. They've had to close off floors of the hotel because they haven't got enough people to clean the rooms. And we haven't got enough staff to support the number of rooms they have. So it's not just airlines, but it's hospitality too, you know. I had a personal conversation with one of the security officers at Heathrow, who told me, he said, do you really want to know what's going on? I said, I would love to know what's going on. He said, I was taken into an office 3 weeks ago and told I need to re-sign my employment form and take a £7,000 a year pay cut. Otherwise, I lose my job. And he said most of his colleagues decided not to, but he did. He signed it. So he said there's no question that there is a lack in confidence in the employer, and so there is no security people to process people through the, you know, the security channels. And then you've got a 10-week delay because of background security checks. So it's not quite easy to replace people. And I just think the one person who's, or the sort of the sector that is probably doing best out of this is the staycation market.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Do you think people just, speaking for a friend here, do you think people just think, I cannot be bothered to go, you know, on a flight because there's going to be chaos. I've seen the horrible queues and I'm just going to go and find a bungalow in Kent. And you know.
Yeah, I think the searches, in fact, internet searches about staycation holidays have, I think it was this month, 56% increase.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're definitely looking. They're saying, look, we can't put up with this anymore. And then we've got the passport chaos as well. So that's the other thing. You know, would you wait 10 weeks for a passport? No. So it's really bad.
And onto the passports, we've seen a massive delay in people getting their passports in time for their holidays.
The chronic delays in passport applications could get even worse. Unions say another surge in demand could slow things down even more. And with 4.5 million UK passports expiring by the school holidays in July, that looks almost certain.
You've just been showing me your new passport, Andy.
Yes.
You've got yours. You're in the minority. You've been showing it
well,
off.
Now, it's right. I mean, to apply for a passport, there are probably three different ways you could get a passport. One is you can apply online just for your normal passport, which I think is £77. It costs another £10 extra if you want to do it by post. The other way to do it is to have what they call fast track, which is what I did because I literally had my passport worn out, even though there was 5 years left on it. So I had two options. So the fast track was it comes back in 7 days, but you have to have an appointment. So that's a 7-day one, and that costs something like, it's over, it's about £140.
That's a lot of money,
right?
Isn't it?
Yeah. Or you can have a same-day one where you go and you stand there and you wait and you get a passport the same day, but that's like £170. Whichever way you look at it, it's a challenge.
So if you just want your standard economy passport, non-priority queue, 10 weeks?
Up to 10 weeks.
That's madness, isn't it?
It is. I think, again, they had to ramp up the number of people working at the passport office, which I must say when I went there, it was extremely quick, easy. It was very orderly, but there was hundreds of people, but they processed them through pretty quickly.
And we should say, an HM Passport office spokesperson said, between March and May, we processed approximately 3 million applications, and 98.5% of applications were completed within 10 weeks. But we cannot compromise security checks, and people should apply with plenty of time prior to travelling. for the small percentage of customers whose applications take longer than 10 weeks. There is an expedited service at no additional cost to help ensure that they receive their passport ahead of their travel. Now, I'm going to bring it up, I'm afraid, Andy. I've been avoiding saying the B word, but does Brexit have anything to do with this travel chaos, do you think?
Absolutely does. It has a factor because it's a labour shortage again. You're just dealing into a smaller pot now. I'm getting firsthand from people in hospitality, anyone connected with the holiday industry, they've all said the same thing to us, that people are not prepared to kind of do the jobs like housekeeping or the refuelers, the baggage handlers, you know, the hourly rate people. They find other jobs that pay more. And they never had that opportunity before. But during the pandemic and Brexit, they have specifically looked at other opportunities and realised that there is more money to be had.
So looking forward, as we're being philosophical, are these underlying issues being resolved, do you think? Is pay and condition for staff improving? Are there recruitment drives for new staff on the way? I'm sounding blindly optimistic here.
Well, I think there is a recruitment drive on, but again, you know, we're looking at something where security is a massive issue and we can't just recruit people, but that means that they have to do background checks that do take 3 months. I think as far as the hospitality industry as a whole is concerned, they may have to look at themselves and say, what do we do about this? You know, do we change the way we pay people? Do we offer more incentives? But the good thing about hospitality and all about the travel industry is it does bounce back. We're very stoic, I think. We're very good at stuff like that. It's the old bulldog spirit, isn't it? We end up, in the end, providing a service that we want to help people with. Also, I must mention one thing. I mean, Grant Shapps has produced a passenger charter where he explains pretty much what we all know already, but it's quite important if anyone is looking for their own rights, you know, what happens to them as a passenger, what rights do they have? The passenger charter just shows you very, very easily all the things that you would need to know, how you get your refunds, you know, compensation for delays. Even a 2-hour or 3-hour flight delay, you could be liable for some compensation for that. So the passenger charter is worth checking out. It's on the government website.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Where do you think the responsibilities lie to get things sorted when things go wrong? You know, is it the airlines? Is it the airports? Is it the government, you know, whoever you've just mentioned there?
Yeah.
Where does the responsibility lie?
Well, I think the government did something. They gave the airlines an amnesty because there was this thing about the airlines had to use the slots that they were originally given at each airport. So planes were effectively flying empty, you know, in order just to make sure they got their slots covered. And they said, no, you can stop doing that now for a period of time. And I think that's added to the chaos at the airport side, because the airports are now saying, oh, what are we going to do now? Because there's so many more flights being put on because it's free for the airlines to start increasing their flights without any penalties. They were caught short. I do think the airlines need to have a better relationship with the airport system. So it's really just getting everyone in a room together and being an adult and having a grown-up conversation about how we can go forwards here.
Do you think some of the UK's airports and airlines are at risk of going bust? Do you think we'll see in the future, you know, airports shutting, the airlines closing? You know, is this the beginning of the end, or do you think it's just major restructuring?
To be honest, I like to think of a positive way around this because, like I said, I think the travel trade has always come through in the end. There's always been these nightmare situations, and frankly, I think the pandemic is probably the worst you could ever imagine happening. And yet, airlines have still come through again. You know, particularly the budget airlines seem to be rocking at the moment. I'd like to have a good outlook. I'm not a doom and gloom merchant. I always think, you know, there's a light at the end of every tunnel.
And Andy, you know, we are in sort of peak travel chaos, as we call it on the news. You know, how long can we expect it to stay in this state?
Well, I would like to think everybody involved in logistics and various things at airports would learn very quickly that we need to sort this out. You know, it's just not a situation that can stay like this. So, like all things, even with the vaccine situation, you know, there was all kinds of things happening. Then suddenly everything got sorted and we rolled out the vaccines brilliantly. I think the same thing is going to happen here with the airports. I think they will realise that this is a situation, particularly in the summer, which is, you know, we can't see a situation like this in the summer with all the schools are finished. People want to get away. They just have to do it. By hook or by crook, they have to sort it, and I'm sure they will.
Well, thank you for that optimistic take on quite a dire situation, but it's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
Now, Heathrow's CEO John Holland Kaye did say in an open letter to passengers on the capacity cap, and I quote, "The global aviation industry is recovering from the pandemic, but the legacy of COVID continues to pose challenges for the entire sector as it rebuilds capacity. At Heathrow, we have seen 40 years of passenger growth in just 4 months. Despite this, we managed to get the vast majority of passengers away smoothly on their journeys through the Easter and half-term peaks. We started recruiting back in November last year in anticipation of capacity recovering this summer. And by the end of July, we will have as many people working in security as we had pre-pandemic." And Gatwick Airport told us, "We strongly dispute the use of the word chaos. It is not helpful and gives an incorrect impression of travel at Gatwick. While we would not deny there are queues from time to time, they usually dissipate quickly and the majority of passengers, more than 90%, are currently passing through security in under 10 minutes. We have also temporarily capped our rate of growth from July and August by putting in place a gradually increasing capacity level. This was to ensure passengers get more certainty from their airlines. Further, we have been recruiting several hundred new security officers ready to start working ahead of the peak summer period." This episode was produced by Rachel Evans, and I'm Minnie Stevenson. That was The Forecast. See you next time.